another Illinois High School Football Podcast. I'm Northwest Herald Sports Editor Kyle Neighbors, and joining me as always is Northwest Herald Senior Sports Writer Joe Stevenson, and the man who breaks it all down for us when it comes to high school football all across Shaw Media, Steve Soucy. Seuss, we're a third of the way through the season. We just got our first week of conference games in for most of the big conferences. Not a lot of surprises, which isn't really a surprise for week three, but what, if anything, jumped out to you?
Well, there wasn't a ton. I think it was one of those weeks where, we had a lot of games where, I mean, like you said, the favorite carried the day. There weren't a lot of scores that really threw me, that I was confused about. And that's just, I think that's the nature of the beast. I think we're starting to settle in a little bit more now. We've got a little bit better idea of what teams are. So, I mean, that kind of ends up happening more often than not. I think there's a lot more games on this week's schedule that I don't want to say are toss-ups, but it wouldn't surprise me if they went one way or another. So that's pretty interesting.
We got 1 week with the Southwest Suburban Conference in the books here. Obviously, Lincoln Way East being a top in 8A is very good. Is there anyone in that league that's going to be able to challenge them? Because I got a couple teams that are starting to stand out. Obviously, Homewood Flossmoor, which I believe that might be on the schedule this coming week.
Yeah.
And then, Lincoln Way Central, a program that had been down back to 3-0. Is there anyone that can give East some trouble?
Well, the Homewood Flossmoor game is in week five, by the way, first of all. So that's the first thing. But beyond that, we've got some teams that I think still have some things to prove before I'm willing to say that they're in that realm. Obviously, Homewood, I think, is the prime contender. The team that's interesting me right now is Bolingbrook. Obviously, consistently, it's a very talented team with a lot of pedigree, and it's been very good for a long time. But it seems like they're getting themselves back to the level that they need to be at.
Bolingbrook's 3-0, right?
Yes.
Have they beat anybody real quality yet?
Not really. I mean, the nature of the beast. I think their schedule has been average at this point. I wouldn't call it bad. They're a team that, that typically does. I mean, they played St. Charles North, and I think they're a pretty decent team. They beat them. And they routed Sandburg. So those are the two of the three that I can remember off the top of my head. But I mean, that's a pretty solid, okay schedule to start the season. We're going to find out a lot more this week because obviously they have Homewood Flossmoor this week. So we're going to learn a lot about that team this week.
Now, the AP rankings just came out right before we sat down to record this. There weren't a lot of changes here at the top, but was there anything that you did differently this week? Anyone that did enough that had you give them a significant boost in any of the classes?
I didn't really move anybody that much off of what was there. I mean, there's a couple of things in the lower classes that I've been kind of banging the drum for. When I say lower, I mean 1, 2, 3A. I've told you I'm banging the drum for Hope Academy right now. I really believe in them. But beyond that, they're the top classes right now, just like this week's schedule, I think are kind of starting to settle in. And I really think the only thing where you might see some upheaval over the next couple of weeks is the DuPage Valley Conference has once again kind of a wacky schedule coming up here where you might see some movement in the top teams. You might not, but right now you've got the Naperville teams that have broken out there at the top. But every week in that league, you're going to have a challenge from whoever you play. So it'll be interesting to see how those teams, if they continue to avoid the landmines that league provides.
One of the things that we're going to see over the next few weeks, you mentioned that, but also in 5A, Marion Central was number four going into last week, a team that I had really started to catch my eye and I was high on. Joe, I know you were as well. They went out and got shut out by Bennett 27-0, which, Bennett's a very good team. The problem is they lost multiple players to injuries, including knee injuries to their starting quarterback, Gavin Scott, and running back
Brian Nemezek, their running back, a 1,000-yard rusher last year. Their backup quarterback, Patsy Ricciardi, who's a sophomore, who was also one of their best receivers, and an offensive lineman, Jaden Theargood. At this point, I just had texted Coach Maloney, and he said Nemezek and Scott will get their MRI results tomorrow. They were both knee injuries. Ricciardi's was, a pectoral muscle. He said he's out for at least a couple weeks. And it just throws everything, as he was saying, you know, all these injuries throw everything else out of whack, because now you got a defensive end moving over to replace your offensive lineman. So now you got another second team defensive end. Now two guys are backups are playing. They have AJ Golombeski, who is like a really nice 6'3", 6'4", receiver, who's now forced to play quarterback, a position he hasn't played in a year and a half, and you're trying to do it in the East Suburban Catholic. This could be devastating for Marion. You know, all the Hurricanes need is to get to 5 wins, and we think that they could be a really good playoff team. I think they even have the makings of a team that could make it to DeKalb, but the question is now, can they get there? It was going to be tough enough in that league without the injuries. Now, you know, if you're looking at 3-4 weeks, however long it might be with these injuries, we don't know yet, but it could be devastating.
I mean, it's no secret how much we dislike 5A football on this podcast. With that being said, without a real great feel for the contenders in that class, Seuss, I don't know about you, but I went ahead and wiped Marion Central completely off my ballot. There's just too much uncertainty with having that many players injured, particularly with a pair of really, really critical offensive components. They're going to have to face a Marist team this week that, unfortunately, it's probably going to get really ugly. Did you leave them in your top 10?
I did, but it's primarily a device for me. I usually wait until the disaster happens before I run a team out of the ballot. And the other problem here is, like you mentioned, 5A feels pretty thin. So, I mean, if I'm going to take Woodstock all the way out, I got to come up with somebody to replace them. And right now that's a really difficult thing to do because, I mean, I mentioned it a little bit when what I wrote earlier this week. One of the teams that is a staple in my 5A rankings that is in it every year is Metamora, and they're struggling. And that's another conference in Central Illinois, the Mid-Illini, that has some pretty good 5A programs playing in a conference with teams in the 6 and 7A classifications. And in any year, you're gonna find a team that's probably pretty good, probably good enough to make a little noise in the playoffs, not make the playoffs because there are 5 or 6 teams in that league that are knocking the heck out of each other. I mean, you look at a team like Morton, who's currently ranked in 5A. They've kind of come out of nowhere. If that's another team in the Mid-Illini, that makes for a mess there too. So teams in the Mid-Illini can relate to what goes on with someone like with Marion Central because, I mean, they're playing good teams of their own classification. They're playing pretty good teams from 6 and 7A. So, I mean, that's the problem in 5A right now is I have a hard time finding 10 teams that I want to rank. So I'm throwing darts at the board, to be completely honest with you. I ranked Morton this week. I'm not sure how good they are. I was talking to some people in Central Illinois, and everyone seems to be surprised that they're 3-0 at this point. So who knows what they are. So, you know, that's the problem in 5A. It's not necessarily that I'm necessarily, you know, whistling Dixie for Marion Central's, you know, chances the rest of the way. It's just that I don't really have any, you know, really safe alternatives in my mind in terms of who to rank. This is not a problem for me in any of the other classifications right now. I'm filling out a ballot with ease, and there are 3 or 4 teams that I'm trying to figure out a way to wedge in. 5A, that's not the case.
That sounds about right for 5A. But one of the teams that you are talking up, I believe it's 5A, is Hillcrest, correct?
Yeah, I'm an enthusiastic supporter of what Hillcrest has been able to do so far. They did take a loss. They lost 14-7 in overtime to a Lamont team that doesn't lose regular season games very often. So that's a really, really big step for Hillcrest to come that close to beating Lamont. This is a team that last year, you know, rambled out of the gates, was undefeated until they got to Lamont, and Lamont routed them. So they are making some huge strides. I like what they're about. I have no hesitancy in believing that right now they're one of the best 10 teams in 5A.
Steve, who's the kid? I think he's back this year. The really good wide receiver return guy for them. It's like a 6'1 guy can run like crazy. I saw him.
I'm drawing a blank on his name right now, but I know who you're talking
too.
About.
That's terrible. I should know that, but I did get to see them at the end of last year against Marion Central in the playoffs, and he was quite impressive.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting story. It's a program that prior to 2 years ago was pretty much a lock to be on my list of teams that I took out of my playoff database after 5 weeks, which means you're 0-5 and have no chance of making the playoffs. So that's, I mean, and they now they have become a team that is, you know, obviously much, much better. And that's a really good thing for that school district and everything that that is going on with them.
All right, guys. Well, since things are a little bit stagnant this week, I felt when I looking through the different rankings and stuff, I decided we'd change it up a little bit. We'd do a little buy and sell. So I came up with some questions for each of you. And, Seuss, I'll start with you. Buy or sell Providence after their win over St. Rita?
Well, I was impressed with the win, but I still have great reluctance in buying into Providence because they already have two losses on their schedule. They lost to East St. Louis and they lost to a team from Missouri to start the season. So this is a 1-2 football team that still has a lot left on their schedule that gives them trouble. So, I mean, it's a nice win and it definitely puts them back on the radar, but moving forward, I'm kind of a reluctant seller on that one.
All right. Joe, buy or sell Cary Grove as the number two team in 6A with Normal West, DeKalb, and Naz, all looking impressive so far in 3-0 with Cary Grove already with the loss.
I'm going to buy right now because that loss was a one-point loss to the defending state champs, Prairie Ridge, which is such a good team. And Cary's defense has looked outstanding so far, 28 points allowed in three games. That said, the Trojans have two really tough games coming up these next 2 weeks. It'll tell us a little bit more about them with a 7A team in Jacobs and then an 8A team in Huntley. If they would split those or somehow lose those two, or if they win those two, you know, if they win those two, they'll stay at number two. If they would lose one or those, they still should be probably in the top five because that would be a quality loss if it would happen.
All right, Seuss. Buy or sell Kankakee reaching the postseason for a second straight season after wins against Bradley Bourbonnais and Ottawa?
It's very interesting if you know a little bit about the backstory of Kankakee. And this is a team that has kind of gone through a lot. I mean, in 2009, they were a semifinalist. It was a heartbreaking loss that kept them from getting the state championship game. They essentially missed a late conversion. And then the program kind of went dormant for a while. It wasn't very effective. They weren't winning enough games to get into playoffs. They were just kind of drifting from 3-6 to 4-5 for years and years and years. Well, it made a coaching change, and the atmosphere has kind of changed. And this is a team that feeds on emotion. It's totally different than what they have done before. And that's a good and bad thing, because when they beat Bradley, you could tell it was an emotional win for them. They were all fired up. I mean, they don't beat Bradley very often. They've only beat them three times in the last 21 years of the rivalry, including that victory. And then they go into Ottawa, a team that struggled to beat a middle-tier Chicago Public League team the week before in Urban Prep Bronzeville. And they needed, like, to score in the last 4 minutes of the game to win the game. Unfortunately, I think this Kankakee team is a team that plays to the level of its competition. So that's going to get tricky for them, and they're going to have an opportunity to play Crete Moni and Rich Central, who are both very good teams in the Southland. Crete Moni, an excellent team, actually. And then there are some other teams on their schedule where if they play to the level of those teams, they put themselves in danger of getting a loss. So I think they may make the playoffs, but I fear for them in regards to taking maybe a loss or two down the line here that they probably should not.
All right. Joe, one more for you. Buy or sell Johnsburg offensive makeover, making the Skyhawks a legitimate state title contender in Class 4. And to give a little background here, and we're kind of just speculating on this, but looking the way that Johnsburg's running their offense, they've gone to a spread here almost. Dan DeBoeuf taking a page from Rochester after playing them in the state championship last year. Does that make them a contender?
I'm not ready to quite buy that yet. It's remarkable what the Skyhawks have done, because We went into the season. They lost so many linemen, and they lost the number eight career rusher in IHSA history in Alex Pete. They have a great receiver, Nico LaDolce, coming back, and they were moving. We thought that Adam Jacob would be a pretty good quarterback. He's been an excellent quarterback for them. But it's remarkable that they've been able to do this and put up the points like this. And I'm looking at the rankings in 4A, and I'm not sure who I see in the North that might be able to stop Johnsburg right now. I know Hersher's supposed to be pretty good, but we don't know if Hersher would go North or South. Steve, I think last week you mentioned Morris may be South, but Morris may even get bumped up to 5A.
Yeah, Morris is kind of tricky in just regards to what classification they're going to end in, and it's all about the geography of who gets into 4A. And one of the things about it that you have to look at in regards to 4A every year is how many public league schools are going to get, because that's going to change the construction of who goes South and who goes North. Because every year since Hersher has kind of returned to prominence, they kind of bounce back and forth between North and South. They go North, they go South from week to week. They're the team that seems to be on the bubble. And if Hersher's on the bubble, Morris is too. So, yeah, I mean, it just kind of depends on how many teams are coming out of the CPL that are naturally ingrained to the North bracket to see who gets pushed South. Because it's an interesting bracket, I think, if Johnsburg, Hersher, and Morris are all in the North bracket. I think it's a very interesting bracket. But if Hersher and Morris get sent South, I think you're right. I don't think there's a lot of obstacles there for Johnsburg in the north side of the bracket.
Yeah, because Phillips is gone. Phillips is 5A right this year. And so, you know, I guess I'm not buying it now. It almost sounds like I'm contradicting myself maybe. But when you say legitimate title contender, I'm just not sure that Johnsburg is at the level of Rochester or Althoff, if it would happen, if Althoff – we're guessing that there would be those two. Yes. Still a long way off.
Seuss, I'm interested to see how you filled out your 4A bracket. I went with Rochester and Althoff 1-2. Clearly, I think they're the two best teams. And then I got a little more confused because you had Hersher and Johnsburg right there after Canton lost. They were number – I want to say Canton was 3 last week. But, it's hard to compare two teams from different areas. But you do now have a common opponent for Hersher and Johnsburg, and that's Plano. Johnsburg beat Plano week 1 70-0. Hersher, I can't remember the score offhand. I wanted to say it was 39-13, somewhere in that range. Did that give you any pause with the voting in here? And is Morris right in that mix with those two teams as well?
Well, just to be completely frank, I went Rochester, Althoff, Hersher, Morris, Johnsburg. That's what I did. I didn't have any pause with what Hersher did with Plano. They got out to a huge lead early on and put their foot off the accelerator. I don't know what was going on in that opening game between Johnsburg and Plano. I don't know if there's bad blood between the schools from past playoff games, but I mean, I don't really take a lot of stock from a week one. Sometimes you just have a bad night. I think both teams are clearly better than Plano. I'm not going to necessarily get more impressed because Johnsburg hung 70 on them in the opening week of the season. So I'm running up. I don't know if they were running up the score or what happened, but I tend to look at any 40-point win about the same.
Okay, and let's head over to our games to watch of the week. I'll go first here. I'm going to take Maine South at Palatine, not Palatine, as I put on the program here as I was typing it up this morning. But Maine South, very, very good team. Took a close loss to Lincoln Way East here a couple weeks ago. Bounced back nicely. Palatine, always a nice program. I think that's going to be a good game. Seuss, what do you think?
Yeah, I think I would agree with that. It's just one of those situations where you're looking at the schedules that both of these two teams have elected to play in the early going. And you just have to tip your cap because, I mean, I think Palatine's a really good team and they're kind of drifting out of everyone's memory because they lost a game early in the season and they may lose another one here. But if that does happen and then they proceed to win the rest of their football games, they're going to be a super dangerous 7-2 team in that 8A bracket that's going to be seeded around 20th or 21st that absolutely no one is going to want to play.
All right, Joe, what do you got for us?
I have Jacobs going to Cary Grove. I'm sticking in our backyard here for this one because I think I'm really intrigued by this. I think this is going to be a really great game on Friday. I saw Jacobs last week, and that offense is really good, and Kerry Grove's defense is really good. And, you know, Kerry Grove lost quite a bit from a 6A quarterfinal team last year. Jacobs has a lot back from a 7A quarterfinal team last year. This was a really difficult game for me to pick. In our own podcast, I did pick Kerry Grove just on tradition in the last few years, but this one could definitely go either way, and I think it's really going to be – I'm going to have a fun Friday night on my hands, I think.
Yeah, I actually – going through the AP poll this week, I was a little surprised to see Jacobs not creep into the top 10 here. They've played really well. I mean, their only loss was in the last second to Huntley. You know, I'd be interested to see if they can pull off the upset here and get a statement win. Seuss, what do you got for us this week?
Well, I think this is an interesting week in the regards that there are so many neighborhood brawls, if you will, around the state. You got St. Charles East and St. Charles North. You got two 3-0 teams in Normal with Normal West and Normal Community. But the one that I'm going with is a rivalry that's been around for a long time. We mentioned it a little bit earlier in the podcast. I'm going with this Homewood-Flossmoor-Bolingbrook game because I'm going to be honest. I don't know how good Homewood-Flossmoor is because they played two out-of-state opponents that, to be honest with you, I've checked the results after the fact, haven't played very well. They may not have been very good teams. They didn't play very and Homewood-Flossmoor played Stag, a program that struggled, and they won easily last week. So I'm not sure how good they are. I'm also not sure how good Bolingbrook is because I saw them last year. They were young. They had a lot of obvious athletic talent, but they couldn't put it all together. If they have, I think this is going to be a heck of a football game.
Okay, that'll wrap it up for us here in week four. Looking forward to the game. Thanks again for joining us, and we'll talk to you next week.